Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on. I wanna dance with my baby.
You are listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by, he gets them in a trance, but he tells all the boys, tell me love isn't true, it's just something that we do, darling. Or in it, more realistically, David Lim. And me, I'm the boy who likes to singy, singy, singy. And boogie woogie, Joel Babington. Hello, David, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, JB. Look, this is the first time we are tackling the queen of pop on Right Back At You. And do you know what? I just think out of all the list of artists that we have, right, and we love and we want to celebrate, Madonna is not one that we often discuss. We know, obviously, she's like top tier and we want to get to it, but something's in the atmosphere. The celebration tour is happening. It just feels like the right time, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, that tour's kicked off and it felt like Madonna was saying to us, what are you two playing at?
JB, you were at that tour. How was it?
Oh, so I went to the celebration tour, you know, for pop fans, for our community, there's been a lot of big shows going on. For some, it's Beyonce. For some, it's Taylor Swift. For some, it's Madge. For some of you lucky buggers, it's all of them. This was the one where it was a priority purchase for me. You know, if I'm ever going to see our Madge, this is the time to do it. Much like how I have been with Kylie Ann, Al Mariah, always had such huge respect for this person. You know, it is the queen of pop.
Literally, yeah.
But, you know, I've not been off book. I've been a bit of a local, which I'm sorry to everyone about, and I am working on it. But let me tell you, David Lim, this show is incredible. It was an absolutely overwhelming experience for me in a brilliant way. I cried about three times, David.
Oh my God, just because tell me those moments.
The power of Madonna. So the obvious one is she does this really powerful AIDS tribute, which we've all seen online.
It was
absolutely incredible. Thankfully, I went on, I think, the third or fourth London show, so I was already prepped, but that didn't stop me. I bawled like a baby.
Wow.
And then I think the other times were just in really more upbeat moments. It was just really powerful to be singing these songs and just having her right there in front of you. And yeah, like we had great seats, really good view. I've never seen a concert like this. The production was absolutely incredible. Yes, the tickets were expensive, but the money was seen on stage.
Yeah, and I loved seeing all the references to her past looks, the videos. That it just really tells you that, look, this is a tour that was put together with love and with people that truly understand her back catalogue, the references, the visuals, like everything is there for a reason. And it's so good to see how it's been recalled, reimagined, and worked together into this show.
Yeah.
I mean, the dancers on stage, was it Vogue where it's like the circular stage?
The circular stage is bloody phenomenal, David. So that's like on what we would call like the stereotypical main stage, right? This circular bit comes up.
And it's rotating. Oh my God.
All the dancers sort of like hanging out of these like boxes. If it would be sort of like, it
like
sort
windows.
Of looks like changing rooms. Yeah, windows in a way. All like hanging, doing different things. Madonna just sort of goes around it all doing her thing. Sometimes she's on top of that circular bit. It goes up again. And
like
she does even
cake.
More, like a wedding cake. Thank you, David. There's not one, there's not two, there is three catwalks.
Bloody hell, that is your cardio workout, Madonna.
Yeah, it is. And you know how sometimes on a pop show, there's the big screen behind them and then two side screens.
Yeah.
Not in this show. There are screens
hanging down, right?
Hanging down throughout the arena for everyone. And the sides, one's
exactly.
Right in front of you.
So even if your tickets are like those seats up there, you're getting that panel, that screen that's giving you a good view of that. So that's very considerate. And, you know, it's just from what I've seen, it looks absolutely incredible. I mean, I love that she opens with Nothing Really Matters, which is one of my favorite Madonna songs. And it's just like, it's such a statement to open with that song because it's such a autobiographical track. But look, we are not here to dive into the tour, but I just thought it would be really, really fun to get the JB's thoughts because it's his first time seeing Madonna live. And it really is the reason why we were jogged to do this episode now, right?
Lastly, the love was there. Madonna was incredible. The whole production was extraordinary. And she's got a bunch of her kids in the show, David. It was a family affair.
I love seeing that.
And the love, you can tell how much she loves those kids and how much they love her. She made such a big show feel so intimate. And those kids are effing talented.
Absolutely love that. Listen, so we know taking on Madonna on our little podcast is going to be a real big challenge because so many people love her and there's been so many think pieces, podcasts out there celebrating Madonna. We are not experts. We're just like lovers of 2000s pop music. Of course, Joel and I will have our own memories and experiences of Madonna, which we will. We're so excited to share for the first time on this podcast. But if you love all things Madonna, I just want to give a shout out to Inside the Groove podcast. Go check them out. He does such a great kind of documentary style deep dive into every track, every album, every era, performances and such. So big shout out to that podcast. But look, if you're also just maybe on the periphery of Madonna fandom and you're getting into it, come along on this journey with us. We are starting in the year 2000 because we're a 2000s pop music podcast. So naturally, we have to pick the music album. And of course, as you know, Joel and I love a cowboy hat.
Or just the cowboy aesthetic in general.
Yes, I see you've got your cowboy shirt on. That's given me Don't Tell Me.
Exactly. I had to get it out for the Madonna episode. I did leave my hat in the cupboard, but you know,
we love a pink cowboy hat. There's been a few of those floating around the flat. You know, it's definitely part of the aesthetic for us when it's just fun night out. But, you know, this music album for Madonna was also her first album to be created mostly outside the United States. In fact, most of it was done right here in London. So we really feel like, okay, our Madge is here.
In swing in London town.
In swing in London town. She started to develop a bit of a British accent by this time. Which, I mean, I'm not one to talk, you know, my friends from back home in Australia listening are probably like, who is that?
Well, I had such a great time in London. I think Michelle Visage has adopted that. It happens to British too, you know, like when Joss Stone went, like, got big and went to LA for a while, everyone's like, she's come back with an American accent. It just goes both ways.
It does. But speaking of Madge, she really doesn't like being called Madge. In research for this episode, I came across a quote where she said, this was years later when she's no longer living in the UK. She said, that's one of the reasons why I left England. So I don't have to hear the word Madge anymore. Some people say Madge is a colloquialism for boring middle-aged housewife. And other people say short for Majesty.
I mean, I always thought it was, yeah, Majesty, Madonna.
Yes, but we may need to ban that word in honor of...
Okay, sorry. Sorry, so Madge.
Get that out of your system now, Joel.
This is David, like, one day when you move, if and when you move back to Australia, I had to get out of that country. They're all calling me David Ann.
I am Davo, okay? Let me reconnect with my roots.
Down under Dave. Right, David, before we go any further, please can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Yes, Jolie B. Now, this one is left from Ecuador. Would you believe our little podcast recorded in our bedrooms is being heard in Ecuador?
Hello, Ecuador.
So the title goes, finally finished listening to all the episodes. I found out about this podcast about a year ago, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole content until this past week when I finished the whole thing. Let me tell you, it's not only that they have evolved into two of the most amazing hosts in podcast history. Wow.
Wow. Thank you.
But the quality of the sound and recording also evolved and is such much polished and radiant. Thank you for all you do for your fans. Can't wait for the Out of Control episode. Sending my love all the way from Ecuador in South America. The only Girls Aloud fan here, by the way. Signed, Louis.
Wow. Thank you, Louis. Thank you, Louis. Well, here's a new episode for you.
And speaking of Girls Aloud, yeah, we put out our Tangled Up episode last month, and it was just so much fun doing that. And we obviously love the girls, and we will be jumping back on that wagon soon.
Yeah, when we fancy a little bit more ding-a-ling, we will get back to it. But if you are loving what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review. Hit that subscribe button, tell a friend, follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms.
Thank you, JB. Look at you, so polished, so professional.
Evolved.
Evolved, honey. That's us.
Right, Davo, where are we at with Her Majesty?
Listen, Jolie B, this is a very interesting point in Madonna's career. So she's had a few acting gigs in recent years. You know, the Next Best Thing movie was coming out, I think, around this time as well. She had a song on the Austin Powers soundtrack, Beautiful Stranger. But on the whole, after the Ray of Light album, which was so personal, so commercially successful and critically successful, it kind of feels like Madonna was itching to do something different this time around. So yeah, that's where we ended up with the music album. But I remember even like, just thinking back, to me, that gap of time between 98 Ray of Light and music in 2000, I know it's 2 years, which is a long time in pop, but it really didn't seem that long in my mind that she came back.
Yeah, but I guess if Beautiful Stranger was in 99, American Pie and Next Best Things in 2000, there were little beats to keep it present. And then I'm guessing people were talking about her and Guy Ritchie being together as well.
Oh, God, yeah. She was constantly in the tabloids and the press. Yeah, that was the thing as well this time, because I think as a body of work, Ray of Light was so respected. And, you know, I was in Malaysia at the time that came out. That really was probably my first time of understanding who Madonna is.
Mm.
As you said, this is someone that's always been in our lives. Our parents listen to the music, talk about this artist. So as a kid growing up, I remember seeing a copy of the Immaculate Collection on cassette in my auntie's car. So I was familiar with songs like Material Girl, Like a Virgin, Papa Don't Preach. But once we got cable TV in the late 90s, that's where I started to see music videos. And that's where I'm like, oh, you know, the Ray of Light era. I was really like, wow, this is Madonna now. You know, It was the first time I probably felt like, oh gosh, we're really seeing an artist reinvention. Like, I hadn't seen someone do a reinvention in that way before.
Yeah.
So it was really mind-opening for me. What about you, JB?
So for me, it's not too dissimilar, really. My older sisters loved Madonna, and they had the Immaculate Collection on CD. So
more advanced over there in Essex, I see.
In the mid-90s, when I'm dead young, little bear, that was being blasted. Holiday, Material Girl, Like a Virgin, as you're saying, just like all these real fun pop hits. And then, of course, Mum's always got the radio on while she's doing the ironing. Madonna's going to be prominent on Essex radio. And then, yeah, Ray of Light came out. And I just remember like older siblings having that on CD. And yeah, that was the first new Madonna era being aware of. I don't know if I even put the two and two together that it was necessarily the same person until probably.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think if it weren't for the name being so prominent, Madonna, and it being said so much in my household, then I wouldn't have made that visual connection either. But yeah, it's just so interesting, isn't it? When we look at artists like Kylie Ann Minogue, Madonna, like these artists that bless Cher, really blessed to have that evolution and relevance through the different decades. Like, you know, it really just says that how hard it is to have those moments. And when it's done right and so successful, like it just adds another 10 years to your career, I feel.
Have a reinvention, collect 10 years.
Yeah.
And then if the reinvention doesn't work, you go straight to pop jail.
Yes. Which is where we are sat currently.
Yes, absolutely. Live from pop jail. Can I also just say, before we get into it, you know how this whole Madonna film was going to happen, that Madonna was writing and directing this biopic.
Oh, yes.
Seems like that is now like got a real pin in it because the tour is happening instead. I do not think that story can be told in a film. Even if you were only choosing a chapter of her life, I just think there is so much there that it is a disservice to it to try and do it in a film. The perfect way for Madonna's story to be told is that it should be in the Crown Netflix-style ongoing series. You know, you've got the Crown for royalty. We need the Crown for the Queen of Pop.
For the Majesty.
For the Majesty. And each series can tell a decade, and a different person could play Madonna for each decade.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. And I think the fans will probably feel like, okay, that way things aren't being glossed over necessarily. Things are actually being celebrated or, you know, highlighted for better or worse in her life.
You would just have whiplash of it cut down into a 2-hour film. There's too much to cover.
So, JB, let's go back to summer, late summer of 2000 in August. We have the first single from Madonna's new album, Music. And let me tell you, the kids reading smash hits, the grown-ups listening to radios, we were all shook by this. This was priority in Down Under.
She did. You're exactly saying that. She managed to get the smash hits audience, the MTV audience, the adult audience. She really ticked every box. I just want to say, for everyone, because this was, I didn't put these dots together, I didn't realize, Music comes out towards the end of August, but August the 11th, 2000, Madonna gives birth to Rocco.
Oh, wow.
All in this calendar month, our Madge has baby and she has a musical baby. So before we even get into it, I just think we should wet the baby's head.
Oh,
and have a little cheers to Madonna and Rocco.
Oh, cheers, Madge and Rocco.
Cheers.
Although
Madge,
I'm sure Rocco would prefer a pint of posh beer.
Yeah.
Not the cheap wine we're guzzling here.
Excuse me, I've got an 8.49 from Lidl.
So, JB, let's get into this huge, fun pop record, Music. I mean, this was just something made for the school discos at Down Under High, all the way to the gay bars in Soho.
That is David Lynn pitching his biopic right there, from Down Under High to the streets of Soho. As the song tells you, music makes the people come together. That is how much it really connected and resonated with everyone. And in that, yeah, Y2K bug 2000s, she managed to make something so fun but also layered.
I think it's a real kind of statement as well, because with the Ray of Light era, it was very much personal, autobiographical. You know, Madonna just gave birth to her first child, Lourdes. So a lot of that kind of personal touch was in the album. This one is more like, you know what? I just want to have fun. I want to hit the dance floor. I want a big pop record that everyone can come together on. Also, what's interesting in the 2000s time, I'm trying to put myself back there, but I think everyone was probably trying to go for a more minimalistic kind of approach, very slick, very modern. And Music kind of has a bit of the kind of 70s boogie-woogie essence mixed with a very contemporary Y2K electronica pop, right?
Yeah. Madonna creates such strong visuals for all her eras. I guess every generation or every certain like 3, 4, 5 year age demographic must have their own Madonna. And I feel like this is ours.
This is our Madonna. Yeah, I definitely feel that.
So, Devo, this song did actually leak, or parts of it leaked online the summer. Well, I know this came out in the summer, but earlier in the summer it came out. So in June 2000, clips between 30 seconds to a couple of minutes leaked on Napster.
I think this was probably the first time anything like this has happened to Madonna. How were they going to leak old cassettes and tapes back in the old days? But now we're in the digital age. Shit like this was happening.
Someone needs to do something about this.
Liz, call my lawyers.
So shall we talk about the music video properly for this, Devo? Directed by Jonas Åkerlund, who had previously worked on Madonna's Ray of Light music video. The music video starts with Madonna and Ali G.
Oh my God, a throwback.
Ali G wasn't known in the States. The label wasn't sure about it. Apparently Chris Rock was a name being thrown about before. Madonna fell in love with Ali G watching his Christmas special.
But again, we're seeing that kind of British influence on Madonna's work in this album era. And the kids at school knew who he was. I'm not sure if I've ever seen like a full comedy sketch by him, but I knew the character. So when he popped up in the video, I was like, oh yeah, of course he would.
We open to this limo, and I mean, 2000s limo felt like the epitome of luxury, like definition of luxury.
This is what every songwriter and producer and pop star wants. You want that song to sound amazing when people are driving down the street in their cars. So it's that nice kind of visual match, and be like, it's almost Madonna telling the audience, like, you should play this shit in the car on your night out, because that's what I'm doing and I'm having the best time.
So then we see our Madge in the back of the limo. Originally, this was meant to be, you know, just hired actresses or dancers to be with her. She said, absolutely not. One side, she's got her good friend, Debbie Mazar, legendary actress. And in the other side, she has one of her longtime backing singers with her in the car.
I love that apparently, yeah, it was a last minute decision and she rang her besties and be like, I need my girlfriends, not these fake girlfriends trying to be my girlfriends. She's like, throw on some clothes and come on down.
Exactly. So Debbie Mazar and Nikki Harris, get on down here. And then what I love is this isn't just Madonna. This is like sugar daddy pimp Madonna.
This is very typical Madonna's work. She loves to invert stereotypes, especially gender norms, and, you know, almost kind of look like a mix between like a rap mogul and like an oil tycoon from Dallas, Texas. You know, she's got the big cowboy hat, the coat. Okay, I see what you're doing there, Madonna. You're bringing together these like archetypal male characters, and she's the boss.
Now, Madonna is pregnant, heavily pregnant, when they made this music video.
I had no idea.
It's really clever setup. There's so much going on in this music video. Madonna has such this strong imagery that is both fabulous, but also, I guess, covers up a bump or anything. This, you know, big sugar daddy white coat. We then get this big animation sequence. Like, if Madonna can't do everything Madonna normally does, we have a big animation sequence. But also, that is great for the very SMTV, CDUK, smash hits audiences. Terrestrial TV in that time is only probably going to play like verse chorus of your music video or like the first half. So in the first half, we have the strong limo imagery and then animation. Wow. And then in the second half of the video, there's more like the sort of saucier stuff, if you would say, where it's like them in the club, her really being a pimp style daddy. And then that's perfect for MTV.
I find it very interesting. In this whole music video, there are no men being seen in the clubs or anywhere like that, except for Ali G. It really is like her saying it's a woman's world.
I think this is such a brilliant music video and song. It is so synonymous with the 2000s, especially the year 2000, the new millennium. And it really fit into the mainstream pop world. Like, it fit into Britney and Christina and everything that was going on. Even though it was digestible in that way, it also was like nothing we'd really heard before.
And I really do think it's down to the slightly retro touches, you know, the vocoderized vocals, that kind of French house Daft Punk influence, which is something we'll see on this whole album, thanks to Mirway, the producer. It was really funky and cool because, Daft Punk One More Time was probably doing its thing in the same year. So it felt like Madonna was tapping into a different side of pop, whereas Britney and Christina and all that teen pop movement was doing its thing. There was also something else that was more European sounding, more international facing that Madonna was bringing to the table. And I think that was really exciting.
So what you're saying is like Madonna is sort of like
bringing Essex Hun culture to the world.
I was going to say the bewitched of country, but I do think, thank you for bringing that up. I think Madonna invented Essex Hun culture with this music video.
And that scene where she's in a club in the VIP booth. I mean, tell me that's not Sugarheart.
Exactly. Exactly. And in the 2000s, did you have this in Australia growing up in Essex, right? And I think across all the UK, because going to school in London, people did it as well. People would love having like pimps and hoes themed parties.
Oh, God. Yeah. That was definitely a time where that was a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think Madonna's to blame. People are like, get really up in arms about Madonna with loads of stuff, and then, which she doesn't deserve. She is fabulous, progressive, amazing. And then there's me. I think she's to blame for pimps and hoes parties. Right, Davo, shall we talk about some brilliant performances Our Majesty gave us with this song?
JB, I feel like the place I want to start with this is the iconic 2000s MTV EMAs performance, which happened in November. Mind you, and I didn't realize this until we did this episode, because she just gave birth to Rocco, there wasn't like TV performances at the time.
She wasn't on GMTV having it large with music.
She wasn't. But apparently, live performances of music, it didn't happen until November that year when she started doing the promo concerts. So around that time, she did the EMAs, and this was where she wore the iconic tank top with Kylie Minogue written across the chest.
Absolutely brilliant.
What a big honor for our Kylie Ann, given that this is probably deserved. One of the first TV performances of music. Madonna walks out in that. Like, I think that picture made it all the way around the world, and it was probably more famous than the actual performance itself.
That is so interesting, though, because you've got to think about how 2000 was such a big year for Madonna and Kylie. Only a few months earlier in June, Kylie had come out with Spinning Around, which was Kylie's pop reinvention.
Oh, huge.
Madonna's back later that year with her pop reinvention. So I think that's a really wonderful nod. We see a few of those of Madonna in this era, touching into like the newer pop girlies. But I love that respect and appreciation for Kylie, which we've seen a lot over the years between the two of them. But because growing up, I always saw Kylie was the Australian Madonna, like,
oh yeah, she
such
is.
Overlap, and that is in a way, in comparing them, that is a way of saying how amazing they both are.
Yeah, but also she doesn't do it cheaply. Like, a compliment from Madonna does not come easily, so for her to like tip her hat to Kylie and also Britney, which was the other top she wore in this era, that is her way of showing her blessing to these pop princesses. Now, JB, I must ask you, if you were making a big pop comeback in this time, who would you name check on your top?
In 2000?
Yeah. Kylie Babington.
Kylie Babington wouldn't have had a chance to have released a pop song yet, as she would have only been about 10 or 11. But yeah, if she was like, Kylie should have been Nikki, like the Nikki Webster of Essex.
Come on, Kylie Babs.
So then, yes, it definitely would have been that. But if not, it would have been A-Teens.
Oh my God, the blessing. Mm. I think mine would have been like Ricky Lee Coulter or Danielle Jane Minogue.
Ricky Lee wasn't out in 2000.
No, I know.
That would be for like your if Confessions was like a year later, Young Divas.
Now, JB, this EMA's performance, I don't want to be horrible, but having just seen all the spectacle of the celebration tour on socials, I'm feeling like this performance is giving the ASDA version of the celebrations tour, because we've got a giant projector screen on stage. It's giving a montage of past Madonna videos. I mean, it kind of looked like she was giving a PA at a regional gay club.
David,
I'm just being honest. Like, this is not it for me. Madonna's great. She's great, okay? She is dancing her ass off. But that screen, I'm sorry,
David,
that transition.
David, I do hear what you're saying, David, because if anything, I hugely respect you. But I loved the power of this. Of Madonna, you expect elaborateness, huge dance routines, Swarm of Dancers production. But I loved the power of Madonna coming out in this Kylie Minogue t-shirt, her two backing singers, one screen of mashup of Madonna stuff. It just felt like the power of Madonna. And then the backing singers come over and they were all in sync. I mean, you've got to do a lot of work if you're a Madonna backing singer. You've got to be able to dance as well. I appreciate it, but it gave to me a very respectful, we're going to give it the performance of Not Pared Down.
Is Madonna at the Brewers? But hey, that night at EMA, she won Best Female and Best Dance. So shout out to Madonna.
What a night. And 23 years on, right here, right now, Madonna wins Best Kylie Minogue wearing t-shirt in November 2000 at the Right Back At You 2023 awards. Not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. Also, JB, at this time, I mean, not really at this time, it was the following year, 2001 Grammy Awards, Madonna was nominated for Record of the Year, which sadly she lost to U2. And also she was nominated for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance, but she lost to Macy Gray.
I try to say goodbye
and not choke. Speaking of Macy Gray, she came to Madonna's party, so how dare she fucking show her face?
She's like, oh, this little Grammy.
Now, we are seeing an updated video montage. Someone went to that iMovie file and added a few more video clips in there. But even better, the minute this screen lifts, Madonna is arriving on stage at the Grammys in a shiny limo. And Lil Bow Wow pops out from the driver's side.
He's just trying to tell you it's Bow Wow from the name on the jacket.
Oh, this was the time he was rebranding.
But it'll always be Lil to us, won't it? It will always be Lil to us. So she gave you big production with this one. Lil Bow Wow is taking on sort of the Ali G role of this stage concept of the music performance. The video opened with elements of what it feels like for a girl.
Yeah, because we're already in 2001.
Because we're already in 2001. Then, yes, the big video montage throughout, as you were saying. Then it does feel like, oh, okay, is this just Madonna again and the backing singers with a limo? Halfway through the song, a swarm of dancers as Madonna gets on top of the limo, dancing on it.
Also, we're seeing the introduction. I mean, for the first time on this episode, we're talking about it. The Joe O'Meara-style bob.
Why does that give you Joe O'Meara?
It's just Joe O'Meara, honey. I mean, that bob is Joe O'Meara.
I've never seen Joe have a bob like that.
Isn't all of Joe's bobs like that?
No, very different. But
This is Madonna's take on it.
It's like an angular Joe. She's like, she took it to the hairdressers, but she's like, I want it to be more distinct.
Just give me an upgrade on the Joe O'Meara bob. I mean, again, the influence of British culture, we cannot dispute that.
She's loved her time in London. I'll ask you, as our in-house American Life stan, looking at this performance, and when Madonna gets to this part, 2001, it already feels like looks-wise she's gearing up for American Life era Madonna.
It was almost pre-American Life, because I think I associate this hair with Greatest Hits Volume 2 and Die Another Day. So, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to what it feels like for a girl, but already visually so different from the cowboy kitsch aesthetic that we get with the music album packaging.
She loved a t-shirt at this time. I don't know when it was, but she also had that. She wore the S Club 7 t-shirt once.
She'd never worn an S Club 7 t-shirt.
She did wear an S Club
Joel,
7 t-shirt.
Stop it.
I've never seen photo evidence, but I'm sure she did.
Because it's in your mind.
Look, she did.
No, sorry. Are you being serious? Are you going to WhatsApp me this picture? She never wore an S Club 7.
Madonna rehearsed for her Top of the Pops appearance wearing an S Club 7 t-shirt last night, and that was from 24th of November 2000.
Right. So again, I mean, am I wrong for saying Joe O'Meara's impact in the hairstyling department?
There we go. But anyway, I'm also saying Madonna could have had a range of t-shirts at this time. So David, this song was a huge success. Our Madonna really was back. Number one in 25 countries, including here in the UK, David, week of release, right, Madonna was at number one. Number two, Sophie Ellis Bextor, Groove Jet, If This Ain't Love. Number three, Victoria Beckham.
No way.
Out of Your Mind.
Oh, my God.
This was the week after the chart battle of our lifetime.
Was it really the week after? That is crazy.
It was the week after. And then the week after that, David Lim, so music's second week in the UK charts. Number four, new entry, Big Brother theme tune.
I mean, 23 years later, Madonna is touring, Big Brother's back. I mean, it's like we're living in the 2000s.
Victoria's got a new fragrance range out. Number one in Australia. Thank you, David. Also number one in Europe, Greece, Hungary, Iceland, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania. Thank you, Seb.
Thank you, Seb.
Two in Scotland. What were you thinking? Number one in Spain, one in Switzerland, one here in the UK. Number one in America. I mean, it says it all, doesn't it?
It was platinum in America with over 1.1 million sales. It spent 3 weeks at number one in Australia, certifying double platinum, 24 weeks on the UK charts, which is actually Madonna's longest chart stay on the UK singles chart until Hung Up.
David Lim, shall we just move forward a tiny bit to September to music the album?
Joel, shall we start with the artwork? Because guess what? Out of all the things, like, this album was nominated for 5 Grammys. The only Grammy it won was for Best Recording Packaging. So we got to start at the artwork. Shout out to the art director. Take that Grammy, honey.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's still going to be up in the bathroom, isn't it? I would have the Grammy, and then above it, I would have the a cowboy hat with the tiara.
Oh, the pink with the tiara, yeah. You can find an equivalent of that, Asta, yeah.
£1. Yeah, we'll have to spend £2. One for the hat, one for the tiara. But it's an investment. You know how there is the infamous 50p Kylie gold hot pants story? I wish there was a story of Madonna of like, so I was in Essex one day and I went to Romford Market and I picked up this cowboy hat for £2. And I said, okay, I'll give you the £2, but give me the tiara. And that's how it happened. Do you think, David, they still give out a Grammy for that award now in this digital era? I hope they do. I feel like this is the only time I've ever heard of that specific category.
I don't know anything about this category, but I'm really glad that music had it. I hope they still do. Yeah.
So what I love is she really has, as you were saying, committed to this strong cowboy visual. I guess we already loved a cowboy hat in pop music. If everyone was doing it, Madonna owned it. Now, this is such a strong Madonna visual.
She'd never done country western kind of pastiche before. And it's so exciting to see her take this and do something really kitsch with it. Because as we were saying, at this time, Y2K, everything was very futuristic, minimalistic. Madonna's going like, oh, country western, let me give you a bit of Americana. Even though this is not a country record, she kind of wants to fool you with it.
She does that, exactly. And I love that the logo, the Madonna logos in this era are made to look like belt buckles.
Yes. That's so cool. And I think she did a signing in a Virgin Megastore somewhere and they were giving out like limited edition belt buckles that actually said, wow, Madonna Music, Virgin Megastore.
Wow.
Those were the times, honey. I mean, you know, record companies and, Virgin Megastore had money to do those kind of things. Love the shots of Madonna laying in the hay, but also the ones of her on the mechanical bull thing. Me and the boys were in Barcelona last month and we went to a Madonna themed bar and there was an actual mechanical bull thing.
Oh my God.
In the corner of the bar.
I remember now. I remember seeing the visual of this. Did you get on it?
I did get on it. Yes. At first I was like, oh, you know, I'll take a picture of all the boys. I don't want to do it. Like, I don't think I'll look that good on it. But then at the end I was like, oh, go on then.
Go on then. Brilliant. Did you go on it while it was moving as well?
No. It doesn't move.
Brilliant.
Just
all right.
Purely for photo ops.
Purely
I would
photos.
Not have gotten on that if it was moving.
All right. Because I was going to wait till we got to the video. But Dr. JB's health and safety hat is back on. okay? And I just want to tell everyone, please be careful on the mechanical balls. They are very dangerous. You have no control on them.
They are very dangerous.
When we were growing up, we went on a day trip to Bournemouth, and my sister Elise went on one of the mechanical balls, and she got flung off it.
Oh.
Flung off so much so. Well, I mean, that's what happened. So much so, though, that she went bounced off like the edge of the cushioning, whatever that's called, and then onto the concrete. So then she had to go to hospital. So be careful, everyone. She's fine. Don't worry. She was absolutely fine. But do be careful is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, Madonna, be careful.
So in this build up to this album, Madonna was working on material in 1999, recorded a lot of stuff and scrapped it all.
Yes. Actually, work began on this album with William Orbit, who did the Ray of Light album. I mean, it was so successful. So it was kind of like, okay, let's see what else we can do. But by the time they did the cover of American Pie, William Orbit said that he felt that Madonna was kind of like, it feels like we're rehashing now. So he got an inkling that it was going to go in a different direction and he wasn't going to be involved anymore. And that was what happened. So similarly, while Madonna was at this crossroads with, okay, what do I want the next album to sound like? Because I don't want to repeat myself. There was an incredible French electronica DJ and producer called Mirway, who sent his demos into Maverick Records, which is Madonna's label. Now, I think he was hoping to get a record deal out of it. It got passed on to Madonna. She heard it and she was like, please ask him if he would work with me, because this is what I'm looking for. Like, this is it. So that was how history was made. Mirway came on board, became the main producer and collaborator for the music album. Madonna told CNN that she thinks her approach to songwriting is quite conservative. She cares about song structure, verses, melodies, bridges, and all that kind of stuff. So she really wanted to pair herself with someone more avant-garde to create that kind of contrast, to kind of push each other.
Absolutely.
So yeah, this is a very interesting record that we're about to get into for Madonna, because it was made exclusively with British and French collaborators for the first time in her career. It has a really interesting sound because it kind of was tapping into the sound of the underground dance scene, rave culture, club culture. You know, we're talking French house, trance, techno. You know, all this were pulled into the pop world in a way that only Madonna can do. But having said all that, it's also got a very great commercial face to it. The album is experimental, but the singles, actually. The singles were quite digestible. It was a bit of something for everybody. It worked.
In the build up to this episode was the first time I dived into the album.
Uh-huh. What were you expecting?
Was expecting full on cow and country disco.
You thought it was Kylie's golden album.
I just thought it was going to be like an album full of musics and Don't Tell Me. It really is musically what you'd expect to come in the album between Ray and Light and American Life.
So Madonna said at this time, to join the coldness or the remoteness of living in the machine age in the world of high technology with warmth and compassion and a sense of humor, music is supposed to be a reflection of what's going on in society. And as far as I'm concerned, we've become too complacent. So even with that, like what you're saying there with that bridge between Ray of Light, which is a very personal record, to American Life, which is a very political, outward-facing record, music slots in between there.
Legendary. Shall we jump into our album highlights?
Yes, let's go for it. Now, JB, I must say, I wasn't that pop fan that went out immediately and wanted to check out the album. So I think I probably only heard it properly within a year or two after it came out. And that was because I saw it in my local council library.
Brilliant.
And I thought, why not? Let's borrow the CD, take it back home. If there's any songs I like, I'll just rip it.
Take it away. Give me the first one you ripped. Give me your top album highlight.
JB, I'm going to start with Runaway Lover. It doesn't pay to be a runaway lover. It doesn't pay. This one feels like it could have been a single. I think out of all the dance tracks that's on here, it has a more straightforward techno house presentation. It could have worked in the clubs as well as on radios. I think people were ready for it.
Also, we have to say it's one of the few William Orbit collabs on the album.
Yes.
And absolutely trance house. It is giving Ray of Dial Up.
Also, my favorite lyric of this, you don't care where you drop your anchor, make sure it doesn't land on me. Imagine if you're a gay man that's out and about.
I can't.
Raving in the 2000s and you hear this song. Like, I feel like it's maybe one for the gears.
Yeah.
You can feel that, right?
Yeah.
You're in a club, you're looking for love, and it's like, oh, there's that guy who ghosted me. It doesn't pay to be a runaway lover.
The Mardi Gras set could have opened with this.
JB, did you want to pick an album highlight? Give us one. Go on then.
I'm going to go with, it's an obvious, it was clearly a Madonna favourite. She wanted it to be the fourth single and it ended up being a promo single. Impressive instant. These songs I have this quote for a version of, but this sounds like if there was a rave via dial-up in a great way.
This was one of the few that I ripped from the Sudo.
There we go.
Yep. So I was immediately drawn to this track. I love that Madonna's giving us a bit of acid techno, but I must say, some of the lyrics are like too singy. Like a bird on a wingy. I was a young pop listener. I was loving a lot of R&B artists. I was loving Mariah, Brandy, Destiny's Child. So, you know, my focus and priorities were on great songwriting and vocals. So when I heard this, I was like, I don't know, Madonna. I mean, is this really it?
As a 32-year-old, I relate to the lyrics. I like to singy wingy wingy.
Like a bird on a wingy.
It is giving a little bit of like, we had a quarter of a song and we had to make it work.
Also, I feel like this is probably a right time to bring in this quote from Neil Tennant of the Pet Shop Boys, who said, someone who you might not think of as the world's best lyricist is Madonna, but she always gets the emphasis on the right syllable. Now, I don't know if that's a backhanded compliment or what, but I mean, I wonder if Uncle Neil has heard Impressive Instant.
What else is a standout for you? What else was ripped?
So the final song I'm going to give a shout out to, and this was ripped from the Sudo back in the day from Monash Library, is... They're going to come for me now after all these years.
Here's your invoice.
Paradise, not for me. It's not for me. Now, the producer Mirway wanted this track for his own album, but Madonna heard it and wanted to sing on it.
Snatched it.
You can't say no to Madonna. So they both ended up releasing it. So this song is on Music and also Mirway's album Production.
Wow. With Madonna's singing on it or a different song? No, it's the exact same song.
Yeah, well, I think there were some minor tweaks.
Adjustments.
Yes. I love this kind of very meditative, almost spiritual sounding track. It's ambient. Again, it kind of reminds me of some of the notes from Ray of Light where it's more spiritual sounding. But then halfway through the song, you get these sharp electronic synths that kind of curl up and unfurl. So then it becomes this really, I think it's a very interesting song. It doesn't need much lyrics and there isn't much lyrics in this, but it's just more of a vibe. It's more of a mood, isn't it?
But this one is giving me Madonna Goes Bjork. But you guessed it, via dial-up. You know, Madonna said she wanted to create a sound of the future.
And that's at the time it was dial-up. She didn't know about 5G at the time.
She didn't know. She couldn't.
I mean, I'm glad I didn't have to download this album via dial-up.
Oh, bloody hell, there are not enough hours in the day. I mean, people have got to use the phone. I will give a final shout-out to Amazing. Now, I'm not saying this is a favourite of the album. It's a great song, but we must give it a shout-out because the label wanted this to be a single, but Madonna said absolutely not because it sounds very similar to Beautiful Stranger. Both songs, Madonna, William Orbit, makes sense. Which you can tell the label were like, yeah, great, definitely, let's get that one out. Amazing was briefly released as a promotional single in Germany.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Germany, Spain, Italy and Colombia before it was briefly released before being withdrawn shortly afterwards.
Oh, God, they pulled it out. Oh, in Italy, well, Alberto, if you were there, you remember, let us know if you heard it.
Did you hear it on the radio?
If you heard it on pirate radios. Yeah,
Italy,
yes.
FM. There was a bonus track on the international versions, Devo, which was the prior single to this whole album campaign, American Pie. It was the single from The Next Best Thing. I started singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie, drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry, and good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing this will be the day that I die. Now, I do think with the country look, I can see why the label wanted to tack this on.
Yes, but Madonna absolutely did not want this song on. She said this was a bit of an arm twist moment from the label, and then she regretted it after it came out. She was like, that song does not fit on this album. I also get what the label are saying, you know, given the visuals, like you said, and also American Pie was a successful song.
Huge number one hit in the UK.
So, JB, I mean, I like American Pie. I think she did a very good job. I think her vocals sound really good. Is it a Madonna song I'm itching to hear live or anywhere? Not really, but I did think she did a good job on it.
Yeah, and I think you really did hit the nail on the head of, like, if this is such a experimental album, the label are probably like, right, if Janet in Essex is going to buy this, at least there's, like, another safety net on there for her.
Yeah, because they look at the track listing, they're like, oh, yeah, I know Don't Tell Me. I know music. I heard American Pie. All right, there you go.
I remember we once sung this song in assembly at primary school, and I just remember, like, going off because I knew it was a Madonna song.
We need to find that footage of the JB doing
There's
Madonna's
no footage,
America.
Thank oh. God. Thank God. So it wasn't technically released in the US as a single, but it did reach number 29 due to its strong airplay. And as I said, number one smash here in the UK and Australia. It is interesting that globally these other territories really resonated it when it's such an American-facing song. I do think she did some really subversive, interesting stuff with the visuals in the music video.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. Didn't she have a gay couple kissing?
Yeah, and a lesbian couple.
Yeah, so again, you know, she's doing that inversion thing where it's like, I know this is meant to be like a very classic Americana song, but I'm doing my twist on it. And I'm showing what America could be and is. This is America to me.
And Madonna is reflecting that, giving you that grit. It's a bit like the Christina Beautiful music video. There's, you know, a lot of edge to it there, really, which is a very brave thing to do all in front of this big American flag. A lot going on there. So this really was a huge successful album for Madonna. In Australia, on the Arias, number two. If only you had not rented it from the library, David. Here in the UK, number one smash hit. Number one in Taiwan, love that. Number one in Sweden, number two in Spain, number one in Scotland, thank you Scotland, redeemed yourself. Number three in Portugal, number one in Poland, number two in New Zealand, number seven in Japan, number one in Italy, number one in Ireland, thank you. Number one in Greece, number one in Germany, number one in France, number one on the European albums. and number one in Canada.
Thank you, Adam.
3 times platinum in Australia.
No wonder we have so many copies in the public libraries.
That and Delta Goodrum sat side by side. 5 times platinum in the UK, 3 times platinum in the US.
So JB, with a great album, and if you're a big pop star like Madonna, you gotta do an album launch party. So which is what she did on the 19th of September in LA, the music album launch party, which was paid for by her record label, Warner Records, and Us Magazine. They end up spending like $2 million on this party. Apparently there were strippers, drag queens, you know, it was kind of meant to like mirror the flashy vibe of the music video. I don't know about this. I feel like I need to check my facts again. I read somewhere there was a party where VIP guests were given like a gold chain that said music. The way you gain entry into the party is by wearing that gold chain. So I wonder if it was this party. Madonna was there with her then beau, Guy Ritchie. They were both cross-promoting each other's things. So Guy Ritchie's there in a red tank top that has Madonna's music logo on it. And Madonna is wearing a black t-shirt that has Snatch coming soon, promoing a Guy Ritchie film that's to come.
Again, more t-shirts that could have been in the Madonna Topshop collection.
Madonna loved a statement tee at this time.
Yeah, I mean, free promo, she's saying. Here we are, David. Full cow person aesthetic. Don't tell me. Right, so interestingly, the whole background to this is this track came from Madonna's brother-in-law.
I mean, talk about like really using your connections, but apparently it wasn't, if we're to believe everything, it wasn't his idea. So he was setting up his studio. He's a bloke called Joe Henry. He's a singer-songwriter. He was setting up his studio. He was testing out the levels or whatever it is you do when you set up a studio. So he did a recording of this sketch of a song he had. And his wife, which is Madonna's sister, Melanie, hope I got her name right, sent it to Madonna as like a bit of an idea. And she kind of thought, oh, she saw something in it.
And David, I've got to tell you, actually, one of my songs was inspiration for one of Madonna's tracks. It was actually me. I was setting up my studio in the year 2000 as an 8-year-old. And I was going, I like to sing you, wing you, wing, yeah.
She's probably like, what is that? Is that what they're saying in Essex?
I need it.
Joel, this song was so present on Video Hits Australia, all the radios. Like every time you got in a car, you would hear this song. And to me, at the time, I didn't really appreciate how interesting it was because, you know, you hear that kind of warm, jangly guitars and you think, oh, you know, Madonna's got this cowboy aesthetic. Of course, she's doing something with a bit of a country flavor. But when you actually listen closely to it, very innovative production here because you got the warm acoustic guitars, but it's very clipped. It's got that stop and start staccato effect to match the beat. What about you? What were your first impressions of this song?
It's one of those ones that it just fits so well into what we were loving at the time. Like, I guess like maybe like parental adjacent radio, Shania Twain, Sheryl Crow, this kind of fit in there in enough of like, yeah, I didn't pick up on all those things you've just explained. They just kind of all fit into one for me. And I've always liked the song. I've not really thought a huge lot about it, but seeing it performed in full at the Celebration Tour has just given me a whole new appreciation for it. And then re-watching the music video for this episode, re-listening to it, it's like, this is a surefire hit. Let's talk about the music video.
Oh, stunning. Directed by Jean-Baptiste Mondino, who did the album photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So get that bloke back on board.
And then choreographed by legend Jamie King, worked with Madonna several times in the past, but also our Louise. All of like the big stuff in Louise's solo career, Naked, Undivided Love, Jamie King.
Okay, yeah. Shout out Jamie King.
So, Davo, what we have in this video is Madonna as a cowgirlie walking down an automated treadmill in front of a projection screen. I'd never clocked the treadmill element before.
You remember certain things, don't you, from your childhood of the video? I always thought it was in situ, but watching back for this episode, I was like, it's actually very clever because when the camera zooms out, it shows that she's in a studio. And I feel like maybe that's deliberate for Madonna. She wants to give you this country Western pastiche, but it's almost like her reminding you, look, this is a setup. This is drag for me. I'm not trying to be a country singer.
MTV making the video there. Thanks, David.
Madonna worked with the designers D Squared, which is a brand we all know today. But at the time, D Squared mainly did menswear denim jeans. So I think this was the first time they did something custom for a female artist. And it probably paved the way for them to go more unisex in their range. What it is it's aspirational. It's not jeans and a nice top, but it's, we can do it.
Like, it's still a pop star look, but it's like, I can run to the high street and also get a pop star look. It's very like MK1, which is a reference there for any Romford girlies listening.
Also, I must say that closing scene of the video with a cowboy falling off the horse and getting back up again, that sequence itself was such a stunning portrait of like American cowboy masculinity. To me, it was almost giving a little Tom of Finland. That's quite sexy.
David said, don't tell me to stop. Brilliant. So this did receive two nominations at the 2001 MTV Video Music Awards and also was nominated for a Grammy Award. David Lim, if you've not seen it, the opening of the 2001 MTV Movie Awards parodied the song, the music video, and the cowgirl look.
Can't believe I'm up here. I was watching at home last year. Up here alone, I'd be toast. I got a co-host.
In the US, Don't Tell Me reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 and at this time tied her with the Beatles as the artist with the second most top 10 singles in the Hot 100 history. Number 1 on the Dance Club Songs and Dance Club Singles charts in the US. Absolutely brilliant. Number 4 here in the UK. Number 7 in Australia. 2 on the Australian Dance. Number 1 in Canada, 8 in Croatia, 15 in Denmark, 2 on the European Hot 100 singles, 16 in France, 5 in Greece, 15 in Ireland. What were you thinking?
Oh, Ireland.
And I thought Ireland love a bit of country over there. Maybe they were like, it's not authentic enough.
It's not Una Healy.
It's not our Una. Number 1 in Italy, number 1 in New Zealand, number 5 in Scotland.
Now, JB, just before we leave this single, just want to give a very shout out to a prominent live performance of this, the acoustic performance of Don't Tell Me on the Letterman Show, which is apparently the first time Madonna has played guitar live in public. I thought it was a brilliant performance, very sweet. And also Madonna was like, she looked great. She was in like, just like a very radiant mood.
David, this calendar month, November, 2 very exciting, prominent promo gigs. At the beginning of the month, she does a gig in New York where she wears the Britney Spears t-shirt and a cowboy hat and boots. Now, that's my work Christmas party outfit sorted. And then later that month, in London, 29th of November, she does the Brixton Academy. Now, this is absolutely iconic. As you kindly pointed out to me, it is online. It was webcast on MSN and Madonna's website.
Interesting at this time, with all of us on dial-up internet, apparently 9 million people watched it around the world. Talk about like one of probably the first live stream concerts that we have, I think. But like, yeah, it's so fascinating because at this time, Madonna hasn't toured in a long time. And apparently this was sort of like a bit of a litmus test to see how she would feel touring the new material and everything. I didn't realize that when she was doing the show, it had been 7 years since her last tour.
Wow.
A lot has happened in Madonna's personal life, obviously. Yeah. So, you know, things are changing. But what we are having in this era is a couple of spot club promos and these like one-off performances, which I think is a really great way to create buzz.
Tip your toe back in.
It's only a 30-minute set. She does 6 songs here in London. And one of them is, I mean, they're all songs from this album, but one of the songs is Holiday, which was the first time she had performed Holiday live since 1993.
Wow.
So, JB, let's talk about this Brixton Academy gig. You know, we've seen the top, Kylie Minogue, we've seen Britney, but at the London show, she's got Rocco on it. Shout out to the Bebe.
And Lourdes.
But also the backing singers have like Union Jack tank tops on.
Yeah, and there's a big UK flag on the stage.
Yes. So, you know, she's really made this one-off show worthwhile. And I don't know what it is. I mean, this is all sketchy information for what we can gather on YouTube, but maybe the host of the MSN Live or MSN.com stream was like, is that Kate Thornton? I can't tell.
It is Kate Thornton.
It is Kate Thornton with the Appleton sisters there.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely Natalie. I didn't see Nicole. I couldn't work out who was next to her.
I can't tell. I mean, it was shot on a potato, but Liam Howlett, who was dating one of the Appleton sisters, opened for this Madonna show. I don't know if anyone listening to our podcast would have been at the show, but if you did,
I know, I would love to know.
Please let us know on socials, in our comments, everything. Just let us know what it was like to be in a room, because Madonna at Brixton Academy, I mean, like, that is a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Her energy was vivacious.
Yes. You can tell, like, she was just excited to get out there and perform, right? Yeah.
Welcome to my party. You're having a good time.
So the set list was Impressive Instant, which is what she opened with. And I love that within the first song, Madonna was already crowd surfing.
Intimate and live with our Madonna there.
I like to sing, 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 like a bird on a wing, wing, wing. I like to rumba, rumba, rumba. Dance to a samba, samba, samba.
Absolutely incredible. But also the staging of it, I really love that she has like a Chevy on stage.
Yeah.
Some fake cactus. It's kind of like giving, oh, Coachella at Brixton Academy or something. I don't know. It was giving like night sky desert something, something. Second song is Runaway Lover. Third song is a single, Don't Tell Me. Fourth song, What It Feels Like for a Girl. Holiday. Finally, she closes with Music.
I've given you 4 tracks of new material, then here's 2 huge bangers.
Thank you. I don't know about that. Are you guys not dancing because it's crowded? Is that the reason? I'm gonna ask you one more time. Do you like to boogie woogie?
So JB, some very incredible guests at that Brixton gig after party in the inner sanctum. It was reported it was Madonna, Guy Ritchie with Gwyneth Paltrow, Brad Pitt, Sting, Mick Jagger, George Michael, Stella McCartney, Ewan McGregor, Kate Moss. That is just in the inner sanctum, right?
Wow.
Also, Mel C and Kylie were at the show.
Brilliant show, Madonna.
The regular celeb area, the Appleton sisters with Liam Gallagher and Liam Howlett, respectively, their dates. Barbara Windsor.
Oh, Babs. Babs and Madge.
Ross Kemp as well.
Ross Kemp. This is the era of, like, EastEnders cast, you know, like, big names.
I can just imagine Madonna, like, looking over the guest list being like, what?
No, she would have loved EastEnders. She would have said they have to be here.
So yeah, Sophie Ellis-Bextor was there. S Club 7 was apparently there as well.
Well, she'd worn the t-shirt.
Yeah. allegedly.
That PR did the last minute invite. Shit, someone get us club on the list.
Rick Astley, your boy, was there.
Oh, brilliant.
Gabrielle was apparently there too. Paul Oakenfold from the Big Brother theme song fame.
You might have kept me off the top, Madonna, but that was a brilliant show.
What a night. I mean, honestly, that beats that LA launch party by a million percent.
The LA launch party is giving flop after this, like, non-stop star turnout. So, David, let's wrap up the year. Madonna married Guy Ritchie, and little baby Rocco had his christening the day before.
The day before the Brixton gig?
The day before the wedding. Both in December. I'm like, I would have been hungover from the christening still.
Well, Madonna's on a very tight schedule, honey, so you got to make it work.
Then early 2001, hopefully she's spending some time enjoying marriage, spending time with baby, newly christened. April 2001, final single off the album, What It Feels Like for a Girl. David Lim, I'm going to be completely honest with you. In the research for this album is when I found out that this was a single.
I always thought this was a single with Greatest Hits Volume 2, but that's probably because the hair was different. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, the hair was already giving that.
Madonna at the time of making this record, she was going through a bit of an emotional moment. She made that decision to move to England to be closer to Guy Ritchie. And then she said to Interview Magazine, being the girl, I made the first compromise. It's that extra thing that women have. I don't think that we're better than men, but I believe there's an extra accommodating chromosome. So yeah, the producer, Guy Sigsworth, who she worked with on this song, which is one of the few songs that isn't done by Mirway and not by William Orbit.
Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill Orbit. So yeah, Guy Sigsworth sent her this track with the spoken word sample by the actress Charlotte Gainsbourg. Girls can wear jeans and cut their hair short, wear shirts and boots because it's okay to be a boy, but for a boy to look like a girl is degrading. You know, that actually was already part of the track, and that became the catalyst of what Madonna wrote the song around.
And so you have recollection of this being a single in Australia?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This video, or some version of it, because as I'm finding out for this episode, it was quite a controversial video.
Very controversial.
We must have seen some sort of like sanctified edit on Video Hits Australia.
So the music video, she enlisted her husband, Guy Ritchie. Madonna said, creatively, we like the same sort of thing, so it just makes sense. I believe Madonna did say something to him along the lines of, like, what song from the album do you most resonate with? Like, you know, have your pick. And this is what he picked, which she found ironic because Ritchie is such a macho man, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
And his movies are so testosterone driven.
Yeah, but in a way, that testosterone macho energy of Guy Ritchie, when adapted into the feminist themes of this song, is a 10 out of 10. I think this is one of Madonna's best videos. And I think the album version is much more ambient, a bit more reflective and bittersweet. But then you got the kind of pumped up testosterone of the remix in the video.
Guy was like, bump this. So, yeah, this music video shows basically Madonna going on a joyride, robbing, killing spree.
But yeah, there is a little bit of a Tarantino Karen vibe about this, which I really love. I'm saying the Karen vibe is purely because of the hair. I mean, that Joe Amira bob, you know what I mean?
When she's asked to speak to the manager one too many times. Madonna loses it in her new music video. Upon its release, the video was criticized for its violent content. Music channels MTV and VH1 said that it would not be added to their regular US rotation, and they would air it just once. This was Madonna's fourth banned music video by TV channels and her third banned by MTV.
Having seen it, JB, do you think that's warranted?
No, not at all.
There was a pop critic at the time who said, hang on, we have Eminem Stan, that music video, who was like showing really like violent things happening to a girlfriend in the video. Robbie Williams rock DJ, where he was like stripping
his skin off. He stripped his skin off.
As soon as Madonna's showing like some sort of aggression against men.
And it's not like you see like the blood in the music video.
No, there isn't
actually,
anything like
it's
that.
Just like the shots are all sort of like cut. Like you see like the before and after, but not like the.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. What was clever was they released it as a DVD single.
Oh, okay. Brilliant marketing move there. So then people can get it unfiltered. So JB, there were so many references in this video that I missed, or maybe it was edited out for the video hits audience that I was at that time. That nursing home that Madonna goes to pick up the elderly woman, at the front it says old cunts guest home.
I'd be like, you do whatever you want, but we are going to have to cut that out, I'm afraid. But yeah, I feel like probably in the UK and Australia, it was probably a lot less banned. And I think the controversy of like it being banned probably did help it, although I didn't know about it at all. But it was a really lovely discovery in modern day times. It was a really pleasant discovery now for me. And as you can say whatever about Guy Ritchie, but this was a really good music video. Shall we say a much higher regarded collaboration
than Swept Away?
Then Swept Away. This looked so cinematic, which is what Swept Away didn't have. So, David, while this was a brand new single to me, it still peaked here in the UK at number 7. Absolutely brilliant. In America, number 23 on the Billboard Hot 100, but number 2 on the US music video sales chart.
Oh, thank you to the DVD.
Thank you to the DVD. I mean, I bet people bought DVD players just to watch this. Number 1 in Spain, hola. Number 7 in Scotland. Number 3 in Portugal. Number 3 in Romania. Thank you, Seb. I bet Seb bought that DVD. Number 2 in Italy. 18 in Ireland. They really weren't on board. 6 in Australia and 1 on the Australian dance. So, David, as we end the Madonna music era, what was your favourite track or song from the whole era looking back at it?
I think, really, Don't Tell Me was such a moment. It was interesting, and it really is the precursor to what we will get next. So for me, I always come back to that song. As much as we love music, music will always be played.
It will always make the people come together.
It will always make the people come together, but I want to give a shout out to Don't Tell Me. What about you?
Same. From seeing Don't Tell Me live and ingesting it for this, in my mind, and I apologize, it was like an adult contemporary country track, not in a bad way, but it was just another one of those where I can now actually wholeheartedly really appreciate it for what it is, and it's become a real highlight.
Oh, love it. Okay, look, we are really primed for an American Life episode, guys. If you love us right back at your boys diving into Madonna, which frankly I didn't even know that we had this in us, but I think we're ready.
We've grown. It takes like 5 years before you can get to Madonna. But David, listen to how I want to spend my Sunday tomorrow. I want to find the next best thing and watch it.
That is real dedication to the Madgedom, to Her Majesty.
I would even be up for continuing the 2000s and then possibly even going back to Ray of Light.
Really?
Because, you know, we consider 2000 starting in the late 90s.
Oh, we say this, but then people are going to be like, well, you didn't do the first All Saints album.
I also, well, in my mind, we're going back to the All Saints album at some point.
We're breaking the brief, but yeah.
Anyway, let's end it there before it gets nasty. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s plus sometimes late 90s music podcast. If you are loving what we're doing, follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at cowboyhatwearer747. Not really, it's at Dr_JoelB. And you can follow him at
@lovelimmy.
Until next time, bye.